Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hey, this is Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com. If you like a determiner, family pet ancestry, I keep paying for it because it still makes me laugh, but all it does is point to JackieCation.com. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg composed and sang that song you just heard. He's going to sing his words to the Mexican hat dance at the end of the program. He sings in the beginning with his wife, Sarah Cohen, father of one. Next up, Patrick Brady, going to fix this audio. Vilmos. He does the website, thejackiecation.com. There are many ways to support the Dork Forest, PayPal being the easiest. If you hate PayPal, you can also Venmo me, or you can hand money to me when you see me do stand-up comedy, whatever you need to do. But if you want to actually give me money to support me to do the show, I would appreciate it. We're in the 12th year of the Dork Forest. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes. The PayPal button is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. There is a link to an Amazon button, which is just a portal on both Dork Forest and Jackie Cation that brings you to Amazon. You order like normal and doesn't cost you extra, but it supports the show. So knock yourself out if you want to do either of those two things. I have not made it easy for you to be a monthly donator. You have to remember every month that you like the show. I recommend $10 a month, and then that'll be $100 at the end of the year because of November and December, I tell you not to. You can also get merch if you want a Dork Forest t-shirt or a hoodie. I have the hoodies in stock. If you may not believe me, you can email me for anything, actually, jackie@jackiecation.com, and I'll make sure I have your size in the hoodie, but the t-shirts are always in stock. There are Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts, regular Dork Forest logo design t-shirts, and a couple of stand-up shirts, Spooky Reading Girl, and the Meat Shield t-shirt. The Meat Shield t-shirt is a charitable t-shirt, so all of the profits from that will go to Black Lives Matter, ACLU, and the Southern Law of Poverty, whatever. Anyway, I have enamel pins for Spooky Reading Girl and Meat Shield that are not on the website. Email me, jackie@jackiecation.com. We could talk if you like an enamel pin. Other than that, you can get my CDs and my DVD right there on jackiecation.com, the merch page, the store page. And you can get all that stuff digitally as well as Amazon, iTunes. And you can just listen to it on Spotify and YouTube. The Dork Force is also now on YouTube. There's the teaser clips, but the full episodes are actually on YouTube now as well, which is crazy. But if you like to listen to a podcast on YouTube, attainable goal is what I guess I'm saying. They're also on JackieCation.com, my tour page. You could find out where I'm doing stand-up comedy and if it is near you. And the last of it, of course, is that if there are several premium episodes, episodes that were taped and recorded live, cost me a couple of dollars, so they are on Bandcamp, thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. They cost $2 an episode, and there's probably 10 of them. There's a couple with Maria Bamford. There's a one with Lorraine Newman and Moon Zappa, and just a bunch of people, super fun. And if you want to listen, if you've listened to all of these and want to get a premium episode, thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. Enough, let us get into the program. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I am with a friend of mine from, I believe, the 90s, Garietta Aveda. Is that when we met?
Where did we meet? I can't remember. Where did we meet?
Open mics. I think we were doing mics and then we were doing showcase shows in the late 90s, early 2000s. The last time I think I saw you do stand-up was at that coffee shop over on Ventura Boulevard.
Lulu's Beehive.
That's it. No longer. I don't believe it's still there.
It turned into, what was it called? It turned into Jump Cut.
What is
cafe?
Jump Cut.
It was a...
What is a Jump Cut?
Everybody used to go there. They used to do like a big movie trivia night thing.
Okay.
And then they actually closed it down and went to something else. But Jump Cut was real successful too. I don't understand why that place... It was always packed.
It was always packed. There was right when there was always people purchasing coffee, pastries.
Oh, man.
That's all you need out of a coffee shop.
There's some great shows there too.
Right. Remember Steve who founded it? Or founded it? I don't remember.
I don't...
Let's do this. It's Garietta Beta, Rangers of the Dork Forest. Welcome to the show. Gary and Abeda is good people. That's what we know right off the bat. And her name is spelled with one N. GarianaAbeyta. And that's your Twitter feed, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the Twitter. I was like, why is she spelling
Why is she telling people?
I was like, in my head, I'm like, that is weird that she's telling him how to spell. I'm like, oh,
it's an audio program.
It's 2018.
There's no Chiron.
Yeah. And you got to spell your Instagram and your...
Sure. And so this will go up, I believe, end of January.
The end of January, yes.
Right. And 2018. God willing, we're all here. And
some of them won't be. That's what's sad. You're bringing me down.
Oh, my God. Well, it's going to be a dark episode of The Dork Forest, you guys. So say happy birthday if you're still alive to Gary Anna, because her birthday's on the 27th.
You don't have to if you have died and are no longer here, if you've died in the past.
And if you die in between her birthday and Andy's, because Andy's is the 29th.
Oh,
sure. What are you going to say?
I'm going to say that's also Gary Wilson's, is actually what I'm going to say.
Is it Gary Wilson?
That is Gary Wilson's birthday, yes.
I blew Gary Wilson off one time, and he correctly was like, are you kidding me? And, I mean, he lives far away. To correct the error, it would have taken hours. And people have done it to me, and I was infuriated as well. Guess who's not the hero of the story? Jackie Cation. Gary Wilson is the hero of the story.
Okay. Tell the story. You can't just...
Oh, no. He invited us over for like a brunchy thing.
Okay.
Did not know we were the only guests. Forgot about it entirely. Didn't go.
Wow.
Yeah. I should be buried headfirst in the sand and have my feet painted with honey.
That's a hurtful one. That is hurtful.
It was super hurtful. Because you feel like Mary Tyler Moore, like nobody loves you. And that was not the case. But someone has done it to me. My friend Greg did it. He did not know they were the only people invited over. They were almost 2 hours late and I was beside myself.
Oh, wow.
I have since regrouped a little bit. Not entirely, as you can tell from this story. But you know what helps? Knowing that Gary Wilson was correctly angry at me. that gave me some sympathy for Greg, my buddy Greg.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. That was, wow. I didn't know that happened.
Many years ago. That's how long we've known each other.
We have known each other a long time. I thought we had met on the road somewhere, though. I didn't realize that we met.
We might have. Texas? You ever do Texas?
Oh, yeah. I took a big breath there. I'm wearing my Texas barbecue hat. weirdly. Yeah.
That might have been.
I did. And, sure. I don't know. Did you do Amarillo? Did you do, like, that area?
I did. Where's the shrimp come out of? I did the Corpus Christi. I did. They were known for their shrimp, they told me. All I know is that they were known for their shitty one-nighter. And I was there for them.
Is that how you remember all your gigs? What food products are famous for?
I would not be surprised. I don't know that anyone would be surprised.
Shrimp come out of?
I believe they're shrimpers.
That would be the Gulf. Yeah.
It's the Gulf. That's where shrimp comes from, right?
Yeah. Did you do the other one down there? Brownsville one?
I didn't. There was the guy who booked all of that stuff and New Orleans and or Louisiana said genuinely out loud to me, you're too smart for the rooms. And I was like, I will dumb it down. I need work. What is happening? I am not. First of all, they're not that dumb and I'm not that smart. You are wrong on both sides of that spectrum.
Yeah, that's that is kind of a weird.
Everyone needs $200. Please give me that gig.
Yeah, everyone does. And Brownsville, it's way down there. Like, I think it's Brownsville. And it's like to the right is Brownsville and to the left is Mexico. Like,
okay. Wow.
So it's way, way down there.
It's right on the edge.
I was not too smart for that room.
And do you keep it real basic? Is that what you did?
That's not. No, I'm
when I
I'm
look
just
back on your stand-up comedy career, Gary Anna Beta, subtle, like witty intellectual comedy does not come to mind. No offense.
Shouty McShouterstein.
Yes, there was some shouting.
Usually.
There was some possibly there was barely contained rage.
Yeah.
And some shouting.
Yeah, barely contained. Couple of nights not contained at all. Threw a couple stools into the crowd. Yeah.
Oh, where were iPhones at that time? Pre-iPhones.
Oh,
you guys.
Man, yeah. Brownsville one I remember because we literally were performing on a slot car track. You know, the slot car racing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we were like in...
It's so weird where people talk other people into having stand-up comedy. There was a gig I did in Phoenix. And it was a bar, as you can imagine. And on the wall was a giant aquarium, but just only about 6 inches tall.
Okay.
And in it, there was two tubes of water. And there were water guns that you could squirt into them. And there were goldfish. They would have goldfish racing.
No.
This is on the side of the stage. And I was like,
are you serious?
Yeah, I was like, where's PETA? I know that goldfish are tiny organisms, but it feels mean.
Yeah, they're like the Bic Lighter of pets. I mean.
See, this is why, Rangers, we are sad Gary Annabeta doesn't do stand-up anymore.
No, did you do it, though? I mean, did you?
No, okay. No. What, I also didn't flip the switch when I was offered to kill someone. What? No. there are things I've been offered to do that, yes, I do them. I put on the bite suit. The dog took me down. Yes, I did that. My brother once jumped out of an airplane because he was offered that.
Somebody offered him?
Yeah, he's like,
they offered him a parachute as well.
We're going skydiving. And
we're sure to shoot. You still in?
It's, I think, what did he go with others? He might have just gone by himself. Anyway, but he said it was only 3,000 feet, so it wasn't tandem. Because I guess if you jump from 10,000 feet, it's tandem because there's a lot of free fall. And the rip line isn't long enough to make sure you're not an idiot and remember to pull your own chute. So 3,000, the rip line just pulls your chute. But if it doesn't work, then you're dead.
Okay.
And then he, but Phil Cation has been on the Dork Forest, standing on the wing of the plane, said that he was thinking to himself, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. And then he let go of the airplane and fell into the sky. And he landed. He was like, that was... I bet you that'd be fun if I did it a lot. And he was like, I'm never doing it again. So,
did you tell people your brother's too smart for the sky?
He could not get that gig. And weirdly enough, he had to pay them $200. Here's what I want from you.
Which is weird, though, to pay to jump out of a plane, right?
Right.
I mean, I know it's stupid and like a hack premise, but it's like, holy shit. Like, as you get older thinking about stuff,
yeah,
like you're paying them to barely not kill you.
Right.
Like you're paying your hard-earned money.
Base jumping.
You're in trouble getting, like.
All of that stuff. I just saw The Last Holiday because it is the Christmas season still for me.
Jackie Cation's tree's still up and it's beautiful.
That's because it's January 5th as of this recording, 2017.
Hopefully you're all still
here. We're all alive today. Oh, my God. We forget. We forget how dark it all is. And so, what's the documentary? It's called Out of Print.
Oh, Out of Print.
What is that?
It's a great,
you were in it.
I was in it. Yes, I was in it.
And is it
available?
A documentary
about 35mm film and the history of the New Beverly Cinema.
Okay, which is a fancy movie theater or a historical storied movie theater here in the Los Angeles area.
It is, yeah. And it's the history of it. And it's kind of talking about, 35mm actually going away.
Being replaced by digital?
Digital.
Okay.
Digital. Yeah, most of the theaters are digital.
Right. Now, here's where we can see, because you are a projectionist. Or you are.
I've always done that. That in comedy, we're like.
Right. And you're in the union.
I was, yeah.
No longer.
My card is on hold because the place that I was working didn't have to use the card.
Oh, fair enough. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it was okay, fair enough. So, but you, first of all, I genuinely have always wanted to know this. How do you fall into a job like projectionist when there's giant cans of film that you have to, like, I wouldn't trust just anyone with that.
So someone's again, like,
you shouldn't.
And you should, because they're valuable, right?
Yeah, very much so.
How long have you been doing it?
Oh, like since I was a teenager.
So for over 20 years, because I've known you.
Yeah. A long time. I've been doing it a long time.
I'm 100. So you.
I am 112.
Okay, so you've been doing it for at least since the 80s?
Yeah. 90s. I'm not like being cool. I'm like bad with dates.
Okay.
I'm real bad with dates.
You're not being coy about your age?
No,
please
I'm,
don't.
I'm, no, I have, I don't know, like just numbers and the things.
No, and you're and that's fine. So, but for a million years,
yeah.
Somebody said, hey, Gary Anabeta.
Yeah. That, I know that it's like, well, I can't believe somebody trusted you to do that. I just had a job at a theater, just like as a regular...
Like usher popcorn job, person?
And after like 6 months, there was a guy, Gary Skalski, who was, wow, I hadn't thought about him in a long time. And he needed somebody to help him fix the seats and nobody wanted to come in and do it because it was early.
Yeah.
And I volunteered because I thought, well, if I do it and this guy sees that I work hard.
Yep.
Went in there and him and I would fix the seats and it worked. After like 2 weeks or so, they had somebody quit and he put me up there. I just wanted to do it because they didn't have to wear the uniform and they got paid more. Like that literally was like the reason.
You know what? Those are excellent reasons to take jobs.
Good reasons.
Because the thing about jobs is jobs are dumb, kind of. And so you're like, no, I need them to pay well and I need to be comfortably dressed.
Yeah.
Those are...
I'd like to wear my own shoes.
Your own footwear. Yeah. So, okay. So do you know the first movies that you were in charge of? Because you got to change reels.
Yeah.
I saw Cinema Paradiso. I know how it works.
I love that movie.
It was... that's literally... I have seen like a handful of foreign movies and that is one of them. I am the worst. I will watch Overboard over and over and over.
Overboard's great though. In fairness, you should have picked a bad film. Overboard is so great. The Overboard Captain Ron double feature, I'm still patiently waiting for.
You know, they're doing a remake, supposedly, of Overboard, which cannot be done. Why mess with success? It's a masterpiece.
It is. It's perfection, and I love it. And I also love Captain Ron as well. One's not joking. I love those two.
Right?
I can't remember what, and I've often tried to figure it out, but there was so much to remember. What? I do know what, like, I've ran most of the movies that I've wanted to run. I have very few on my bucket list that I would still, like, go, like, I can't believe.
Are there movies that you didn't want to run? Now, how did... Okay.
Oh, yeah. So any Michael Bay, I don't want to.
Oh, with the shouting and the...
It's...
Weirdly enough.
Modern filmmakers, it's all...
Barely contained rage.
Barely contained rage. Michael Bay... His cue placement is just awful.
Okay. What does that mean?
Well, if you are doing a changeover, you're actually looking for a very small dot up in the corner to actually make an edit. You're making an edit. When you're running a film reel to reel, you're making an edit.
Because you have to make it seamless or you have to put it together.
It's got to be seamless or else everyone in the audience will know. So you're actually making an edit.
Yeah.
And so up in the corner, there are a series of dots that are called changeover cues. And you use those to make the changeover.
Okay.
Michael Bay and the older films are much easier to run because they understood that there was a person doing it. So they would always place it in a manner where it was very easy to make seamless.
Right. Well, because how long does it take to switch? I mean, you have a second projector set up, right?
Right, yeah.
So you can switch.
You start the motor when you see the first cue, and at the second cue, you actually change the light and sound over.
Okay. And that's how... So... Because for some reason, there was part of me had you wrestling with reels in the moment. But nobody, who is that? Who's that fast? Quicksilver? No. Anyway, so.
You've had to be that fast if you've messed up. I mean.
Right. Because I suppose if you've done it wrong, there's going to be a noticeable pause in the film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you'll see numbers or things you're not supposed to say.
Right, right. Yeah, so, yeah, okay. So
it's all very precise.
First cue, turn the motor on.
Yeah.
Second cue, the big switch. And the production booth, soundproof? So that the world doesn't have to hear the motors? Or just sound buffering?
Sound, walls. It depends. I guess they all vary.
Okay, fair enough.
They all vary.
Okay, so what...
ideally soundproof.
So Michael Bay, he thinks that people are just putting a DVD in? Is that what he thinks?
Who knows? Who can get...
Who can get into the mind of Michael Bay?
Most modern directors, filmmakers, they went to the platter system widely in the 70s. So after that, just editors and filmmakers didn't start paying attention to where they put the cues and where those cue placements were, because you were just cutting the film and splicing it together and running it all as one.
Right. Platters meaning that it was reels were next to each other and they were just seamless.
You just put it on a platter, all the trailers, build everything up.
And instead of an upright projector?
The projector's still upright. You use a series of rollers to go through the projector.
Okay.
And then you use a series of foil cues to actually tell it to open the dowser, turn the lights on, turn the sound on, and all that stuff, and turn it off.
Okay.
That's all just done with like a little foil cue that you put on the film, and it's placed in a certain manner to like
shut it off. It tells the machine to do
exactly
the
like two next to each other, close it down, one opens it up. And like that's when you were younger, you started noticing like, you remember how it used to just be like single houses? Like the big movie palaces.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you started seeing like
multiplexes.
Yeah, yeah. And then you started seeing like twins. Like that was the thing. And then it was like threes. Like and that was still one guy running all of those.
Really?
Yeah. And what they would do is they would time it and they would put them on like 5,000, 3,000 foot reels. Not threes, but like mostly like 6,000, 8,000 foot reels. And they would time it so he could go from one house to the other and only have to make one changeover.
So they only had to hire one guy.
They would have one guy and he could do three theaters going. But they figured out a way to actually lay the platter down. It's got three. And then you started seeing like six and 12. And then it started getting crazy, like 21
right.
theaters. Like the
and
man
it's still supposed to be... One guy?
It was one guy.
I disapprove. We had a man plant up here in Van Nuys.
Yeah.
Man plant. Now it's a Regency plant, but we still call it the man plant because man plant's funnier.
It is. You got
to talk to me about your man plant.
Ha ha. Boom. Nailed it. Nailed it.
Always writing. People don't know.
Can't turn off the magic jacket. Cannot turn off the magic. It's the curse. Right.
So, what do you think of this? I want to get so 30. There's 35mm.
Yeah.
And there's 70mm.
70mm. Yeah.
And there's 16mm. If I'm correct.
Yeah. 16.
Remember
millimeter.
Matt Weinhold?
You don't get Matt Weinhold out of your head.
No. That's pure joy.
That's like trying to say like I don't remember a Santa Claus.
Matt Weinhold is a delight. Isn't
he is the best.
He's one of the best. And so he owns
a ton of 16. We've borrowed some from him.
Have you? Have you swapped them out? Do you have 16s yourself? Is that
we play 16mm at the theater. There's a lot of stuff that is on 16mm. This is why I think the digital thing, it's just short-sighted.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they've literally taken all of the projectors out of the theaters.
Yeah.
Like they took all of those projectors out in the studio.
So you couldn't show.
You can't. They can't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a theater that has them, well, you have the entire history of cinema available to you to program.
Right, because not everything is on DVD.
Not everything.
Or everything is digital. Wait, the smile
digital,
on your face.
It's a digital.
It is not a DVD.
It's
Jackie.
A DCP.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a DCP.
Is it a file?
You know what a it DCP? Is. Yeah, it comes on a hard drive and you put it into the projector and download. I'm trying to see. Wait, you don't have any DVDs I was going to
point. There's a stack of DVDs right there.
Oh my God.
It's hang on a second.
A stack being three. Well, I forget who I'm talking to.
Yeah. Like, oh, she's opening it up. Okay. Okay, I was just going to look over here. Like, Willa. There's no DCP of Willa. If you if you owned a theater and you wanted to show Willow, you couldn't. They don't have a DCP of it.
Wow.
So like your Arclight or something, they would not be able to show Willow.
Because Arclight completely removed all of their...
They have since put some back in.
Okay, because they were like, oops. Hey, did you guys throw those parts out? Because are they in storage?
I think we... A lot of theaters, I think, are coming back, and it's great. But where I work, we just show film, and
Is it Silent?
No, the Silent closed down.
Was there crime?
There was a crime.
Yeah. There was some sort of sex crime. I do stand-up comedy, so we're awash with horrible humans right now. Everybody wants to pull their dick out and show it to you. And
yeah, so you worked with Doug Stanhope as well.
I did a couple episodes a couple weeks ago. He wanted his dorkdom. He wanted it to be defending Louis C.K. And I said,
God, I love
guess
Doug.
What? That's not what the Dork Forest is for. The Dork Forest is to celebrate something. And it turns out, as you can imagine, Doug Stanhope collects leisure suits. And so it's a fantastic episode where we don't get to the leisure suits for too long because, much like you and I, we've known each other too long. And so we spent the first half hour just drunk-a-logging and talking about how there was far too much partying in the 90s. And he kept it up. He kept it up. This kind of sustaining... Who knew that?
Bless his heart. I didn't realize he collected leisure suits.
Old-timey, like...
Yeah, I've noted that he wears them.
Joe Namath and Johnny Carson are two brands that he buys on eBay. Brands from the 70s. Shirts, pants, suit, jackets, the whole thing. It was outstanding. It was a great episode. But and then he gave me his book, which is sitting right up there. This is not fame. And
I don't have that one. I have Digging Up Mother.
Well, in the middle of the book, there's a bunch of pictures. And one of them is him pulling his dick out in front of Louis C.K. And I always show that one to people. And Andy was like, you know that the picture right above that, his dick is out. He's wearing no pants. Sans pants. And I was like... Oh, weird. And because there's part of me that's seen Doug Stanhope's penis so much, it does not affect.
Yeah.
And as he likes to say, it's never hard anyway. So you're fine. Everyone's safe.
I think
I added everyone's safe. But anyway, so Matt Weinhold.
A beautiful person.
What movies have you borrowed from him? He was the one who first showed me The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, which I had never seen.
Love. He bought me that because I hadn't seen it.
Oh, really?
He actually bought me that on DVD because he was like, oh, you have to see. It's wonderful.
It is genuinely a great movie.
It's so dumb.
It's and so great.
So great.
What do you love about it?
That one, I really, really like Don Knotts' just reaction to things. That you just
He should have gotten an Academy Award for his act.
I mean, so damn good in that. It's so funny. It's so funny because it's obviously like you can literally see the strings. You can literally see the strings on stuff. It's like that's just a doily being pulled into the air. And it's still it's so great. It's so great. I laughed so hard watching that. It was a delight. I absolutely adored it.
So you've shown some of the great films.
I've shown most of them.
Lawrence of Arabia. Very long.
On 70 millimeter. Yeah, I showed that on 70.
I've never seen it.
Well, at this point, I would say wait and watch it on 70 millimeter.
Okay, go to a theater.
They generally drag that one out. Once a year somewhere, like since we're out here, like the Egyptian or the Arrow will show that.
I have the DVD, but I haven't put it in because I'm like, I kind of want to see it in a theater.
You should see that one in a theater.
And it's huge.
It's so vast. It's so beautifully shot. That one definitely want to wait and see that. But
the only Laurence Olivier movie I've ever seen...
Uh-oh.
The Prince and the Showgirl.
What?
I know it does not make any sense.
That one doesn't.
No.
Also that you own the DVD and just never even put it in.
That's... I know. It's because it's a 3-hour movie.
I think it's longer than
right.
that.
Right. It's so long.
Yeah, yeah. But it's great, though.
Right. As opposed to the French Foreign Legion one with Gary Cooper. Mm-hmm. Remember that one?
I don't.
It was...
Are we going to do the Google thing?
Well, someone's shouting it. Don't worry. at their car.
Someone's shouting it at their iPhone right now.
It's you guys, hear. Come on. Gary Cooper, you know, 1936. Get it together. And the 30s were an amazing year for movies. You, some of your favorites,
Freaks,
right?
Freaks, yeah. Freaks is 32, I think. That's one of your all-time. Todd Browning, Freaks, yeah. One of my all-times.
Todd Browning.
Mm-hmm.
I've never even heard of him.
You never heard of Freaks?
I've never heard of Freaks. I've never heard of Todd Browning's. Yeah. Browning? Is it a... it's too much to hope that it's a light comedy. 1932? Yeah. Is it scary?
Yeah.
There you go.
He was the first person that used Todd Browning's... I'm trying to find out.
Right.
32. I nailed it.
Nailed it. Well done.
People are going to be mad because I'm not remembering his other movies, but let's see what else.
What is Freaks about? Is it about freaks?
About circus freaks, which is why I'm surprised you haven't seen it. I know how you love the carnival barkers.
I am not circus people. A lot of people don't know this about me. I look like a carny. I seem like a carny. I am not a carny.
We're essentially carnies, Jackie. You can fight it all you want.
I'm going to fight it until my last breath.
I will support you in that, but eh.
But I'm wrong.
We're circus people.
We're circus people. So Freaks, you know what? I think Dana Gould might have mentioned it because he's that kind of guy.
Absolutely.
He's a guy
he knows
that would love
very
a movie.
Good music.
And are
and,
they
and very good music and films.
Okay, so Freaks, I believe it had actual like circus performers in it.
Absolutely. I think Todd Browning was the first person to do that.
Right. He's like, I would actually like a bearded lady in this thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Super tall dude, whatever was there. And then was there a story arc to Freaks? Or was it just a freak show?
Well, no. They're definitely a story, but the part about it that I love is just that like there's a guy with no arms and legs and he rolls a cigarette. That's what like everybody remembers.
Okay, so essentially it's a reality TV show from 1932. They're like,
essentially,
look at these people, they're real and they can do things.
I've always felt that movie is about just accepting, you know, like that's the big thing in that. You've heard that one of us, when people do that. They do that in TV shows and stuff all the time. That comes from Freaks. I've always felt that the movie was about acceptance.
Okay.
Accepting who you are.
Just whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever unique thing about you.
That's what I've always felt it was about.
Well, that's neat. That's made it much nicer than, hey, let's look at a guy with no arms.
They killed somebody for not... And the
for
guy
not fitting
like,
in.
Crawling, the guy with no arms and legs crawling with the knife in his teeth. That's always, but yeah, I'm sure I got to show Star Wars. That was a big one for me. I was like,
what? Wait,
yeah,
originally or no? Or
oh no, at the
I was like, you're not that old.
One of the secret screenings that at the now defunct CineFamily.
Oh, okay,
you know, like they would do stuff for donors and people like that. We showed.
Yeah, yeah.
We did the whole trilogy.
Oh my gosh, that's I own all of those clearly.
Of course, yeah.
And then the new one. Have you got to show the new one?
I have not shown it, but I don't think there's any prints of it. But I did get to see it, and I loved it.
Yeah,
I like the new one a lot.
I loved it. My favorite line, guys. It's been 2 months. I'm gonna turn it off if you haven't seen Star Wars: The Last Jedi, because my favorite line was when Luke says, "We want me to stand in front of an army with a laser sword," and then he stands in front of an army with a laser sword, and the only reason it works is because they believe that he's some sort of myth.
Huh?
They don't think he's real. And so they're like, well, of course he'll live through it. You know, of course this is happening. And you're like, Oh, that's, I mean, it was so, it was perfect. And I love that 40 years later, Luke Skywalker is still a whiny asshole because he's such a whiner. And he's just like, I want to be alone. Like, Obi-Wan, it was a terrible teacher. And Obi-Wan was a terrible teacher because they both were like, no, I'm going to retreat and I'm not going to fight the fight until I'm forced to fight, you know? Uh-huh. And I think that Finn.
That's why it's called the Force? Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I'm saying. Boom. Guess what? It turns out you've had me on your dork forest, as Jackie dorks out about a movie.
Yeah. No, I really liked it. I don't understand. And just so people know, Rian Johnson also in the documentary.
Okay.
You want to rent or watch on Netflix, Out of Print.
Out of Print.
He is in there as well. And super nice guy.
Who's Rian Johnson?
Rian Johnson directed
Did he?
The Last Jedi.
I'm in the part of show business that doesn't know anything about anyone. So I think it's been... I never saw The Godfather 2.
I actually wrote it too.
Did he?
Wrote and directed it.
That's neat.
Kind of. Yeah. He was
kind of seminal. He was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I think that'd be the word. I don't sure, know. I'm trying maybe. To think of some other one. No. Seminal to the... To, the, Last
to me enjoying yeah. to me enjoying the film without him not yeah. a lot happening there.
A lot of very good people in the Out of Print documentary. Patton Oswalt's in that
because he's a big nerd too.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. And he actually wrote a book about watching movies that
I have that the silver
yeah
the silver and, screen thing
and who well Kevin Smith is in it and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. bunch of directors, bunch of actors. Like it's real great.
It's just great. People talking about what they love.
The importance of
you know, prints
of the print, the that we grew up watching mm-hmm. these things, and it's just going away. And it's kind of sad because I think that digital it just doesn't. I don't know.
It's well, it's interesting because can't they make more?
Yeah, the technology hasn't exists, gone away.
Right.
It still does exist, but
let's say, and this is worst case scenario. I'm very sorry. all of the copies of Gone with the Wind uh-huh. are gone, uh-huh. and there's only digital.
Yeah,
how do they? Can they make a print from the digital?
Yeah, but they probably could, but it probably wouldn't look that good. Because it's a generation or two away from the negative.
Okay.
So it probably wouldn't look that good.
So are people, they're getting rid of prints. Are they also getting rid of the negatives? I mean, aren't they protecting
oh,
the...
Oh, I hope they are, but I don't even, they make a digital negative now.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, it's very much changed. And I don't like it, but I don't think it's like an old person standing on... The long
right.
Dawson City. did you see that documentary, Dawson City?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Dawson City, Frozen Time.
Okay.
Just came out in 2017. Is a documentary about a very famous story that projectionists. I talk a little bit about this in Out of Print. I can't remember if it made it in or not, but Dawson City was a very famous story about they found. A bunch of film that they thought was lost.
Ooh.
Because the prints used to just travel across the United States. They
right.
didn't make as many prints.
Oh, they did. Oh, right.
Like now.
There was just a couple of copies.
Yes. Very. And it would travel. It would travel either from the east to the west or the west.
That's why if it like snowed or something in the trucks, you wouldn't get the movie.
You wouldn't get the movie. And that is actually in another really great movie, Spirit of the Beehive, where they're all like anxiously waiting for the truck to arrive with the prints. But Alaska, essentially up there in the Yukon, was the last stop.
Right.
So they just kept them.
Oh.
And nobody knew what to do with them. And so what happened...
Thank God it wasn't, yeah.
They just put them in a landfill. Like, they just, like, they were doing some, like, construction, and they just filled up this pool and covered them with dirt.
Whoa. Talk about a time capsule.
Yeah, it really was. And they ended up, I can't quote the number, but I think it was 120-some films
that
they found that original they found copies.
The copies of that did not exist, that were lost films that actually were discovered.
And that's again. Dawson City.
And Dawson City is the name. It's up in the Yukon. And more should have been found. They were even trying to like contact people, I think, at one point to go like, hey, we got all these prints, and they were just like, throw them away. But that was like when it was like the really dangerous nitrate film. It was like they told
what,
this one.
What part. Is, wait, I thought, because here's the thing. My brother worked at a movie theater in the late 70s, early uh-huh. late 70s. And he was the assistant manager. Uh-huh. And so he got all the
Fancy.
Trailers. Yeah, got all the trailers. They melted all the trailers down mm-hmm. for the silver.
Right.
And then threw a party because it was the 70s. And I was like, you mean like the trailer to Star Wars?
Horrible.
And he was
so
like,
horrible.
Yeah, I live in some regret. It's like, because there will always be more beer, you weirdo. He was like, stop talking about it.
They have yet to cease production of alcohol.
Right. My brother Russ, you guys. This is not my brother Phil. Anyway, and there was another story somebody told me about. There's lost Doctor Who's that ended up in the middle of Africa that they found the law. Because they used to just have, they had some audio.
Right.
But they didn't have the actual footage. And so there were a bunch of lost episodes from the 60s because they sent them actual film that they just kept. And then someone was traveling through this town in this country in Africa. And they were like, yeah, did you want to watch that? And it's wow. like, yeah, yeah, I'd love to.
Oh, so, you guys didn't melt that down for beer money?
You didn't? Oh, thank God.
I would love to.
Spirit of the Beehive.
Yeah, Spirit of the Beehive's great. One of my favorites. But they did. Nitrate film used to have silver in it. That's why like those films back then look so beautiful. They actually had silver content. Yeah, so a lot of them were melted down, which I hope they didn't do that themselves. It's so dangerous.
Right, right. Well, I'm sure they did because it's Wisconsin and so there's just dangerous. Fireworks are legal.
You know, the N in TNT is nitrate. That it's explosive.
Oh, like, really?
Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
let's add fire to the N.
It's
a terrible idea.
It's highly toxic and like literally inhaling the flames will
kill you.
In Inglourious Basterds, you know, when they put the film behind the thing and they light it on fire?
Yeah.
Every projectionist was like, well, the flames wouldn't have killed anybody. The toxic fumes would have wiped everybody out way before it got to the burning stage.
Right. Yeah, they would have burned while they were passed out.
Nitrate is so dangerous that they used to have the entire projection booth was made of lead.
That's what it was. It wasn't soundproof. It was lead.
It was lead. Yeah. Yeah. In the film Night of the Comet, that's why the projectionist and his girlfriend live, because they're in the booth and the when the comet goes by, they used to have a cord that was on a metal shutter that essentially what would happen is if the nitrate caught on fire, just like Cinema Paradiso.
Right.
If you didn't cut the film or get out of the booth, those doors were going to close and lock you in. So just
because it was so toxic.
It was so toxic. And it was also, it will burn underwater. They can't put it out. It burns at such a high temperature.
Yeah.
It creates its own oxygen.
Whoa.
So if you take that and put it underwater when it's on fire, it just stays on fire.
Right. It just sucks the oxygen out of the water, probably.
It's
a fish. Turns out nitrate film is actually a living fish.
It is. And we're going to charge you all to shoot water guns at it.
to race to the end.
Hear me out. It's a race to the end. We're going to have.
And that was the other
tank.
Thing is how much they charged was a dollar. I was like, it seems so rude for a dollar. I was like, is there a way that these fish are somehow getting anything out of this? No, they're goldfish. So Night of the Comet, what year was that?
Oh, I think that's early 80s. Great zombie film.
Very fun one.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I love that movie too. Night of the Comet's great. But Dawson City, they were talking about the little kids when the film would come up through the ground.
Yeah.
They would like light it on fire because so, it would burn so beautifully. And so there's just like, I can imagine these small children in a field.
Just bored. Burning it.
But that is the, I think one of the things that we've always pointed to is the beauty of 35 millimeter is those films were from almost 100 years ago. They literally dug them out of the ground, put them in a projector and played them.
Wow.
And because the permafrost, but they literally can play those. They just,
because they can melt. Like if it had been in Africa or South America, they might have melted. But because it was Africa, humidity, yes. Because it was Alaska,
the humidity will have a profound effect. But
okay,
this was permafrost. All those films are there, and now all these lost films are available to us. And digital, like nobody knows. Like nobody knows how to archive this stuff. Nobody knows how to do. Try to get your iPhone 3 to work now.
Right.
Like, you can't.
Right.
You can't. You can't get a computer from 10 years ago. They just laugh at you.
I have a Mac Classic sitting in my garage because there's a video game on it that I really like. And everyone's game? Like, it's called Dungeons of Doom. Okay. And everybody keeps going, there's a simulator online. You could play it. I was like, I have looked for that simulator. And all I get are screenshots. There's no way to... Anyway, the 40th level is death. It's. But I spent 8 months playing that game. Maybe more. It was one of my first... office jobs in 19 had to be 88 89. I was in Milwaukee working at my sister was assistant development director at Next Door Foundation. Don't forget to donate, guys. Next Door Foundation, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I did idiot work, whatever they want. Like I made tuna fish sandwiches. I did the mailings. I did whatever, you know. And my favorite story about that is Darla's boss said to her, how far is Jackie from getting her degree? She's really smart. And Darla said, she has her degree.
Yeah.
And she goes, why is she doing this? And I was like, because I want to do stand-up. I don't want to think about my job, right? I mean, yeah. I just want to show up, work, get paid, and then go put all my creative energy into writing jokes about dogs and penises.
Yeah, maybe the guys in Texas were right. Maybe you were too smart for the room.
Too smart for the room. No, I would still like to work that gig. I would still like to work that gig. Please allow me to work that gig. So, do you have a couple of favorite movies that you would like to talk about?
But I like most of them.
Really?
Oh yeah. I just like movies.
You just like movies.
I like movies. Yeah. I think it's a wonderful combination of all the arts, you know, photography and writing and I mean, it's all of it. It's all of the arts combined. That's why I think it's so hard and so few people are great. But yeah,
But even when it isn't great, you like it?
It's better than Goldfish Racing.
Right? Right. So it's your, like, of all the media that is available, right? Like, there's books, there's music, there's movies.
Oh, yeah. It's always been movies. It's always been movies for me. I did that. Yeah, my family, that's what we would do. And I realized later on it was because, like, all of my family loves movies. They still do, like the westerns, but I don't know. I usually tell people Harold and Maude is like probably my favorite film.
Okay.
Like I love Harold and Maude. You've seen that, right?
I own that one. Someone just dorked out about Harold and Maude on the show, but we didn't really get into it. You should like it because it has all of the things.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It does. It's a beautiful film. That was one I was very excited to when I finally got to run that one. That one was definitely one that had been on my bucket list. Oh, but I was, oh my God, going back, like when we showed The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
At the Cine Family as one of those secret donor screenings. I got to tell you, I've never, at that crowd... watching that. I think Matt Weinhold was there too.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Like it was unbelievable to get to run that for all those people. And
whose lives had been changed by Empire Strikes. Lives had
been changed. Like, it's such a great movie. Such a great movie. But when Hans says, I could literally, the booth shook when she said, I love you. And he turned to her and said, I know. They lost their minds. They lost their minds. Like, you could hear them just screaming, and everybody was stamping on the floor. And it was really wonderful to think how many years ago that was.
Yeah.
And it was still so fresh and still just connected with people. And I think that film is one of the few things. I never cheered in front of a painting.
Well, I don't know. You never. I don't know that I have ever cheered. I have looked at paintings and had my mind blown.
Sure, but me too. The one you have in the kitchen, I love it.
The salt shaker.
I love it. Yeah.
Or Paul Kozlowski's cows. So you're sitting. I mean that must be incredible. Is where you're sitting in the booth, and you get the visceral audience reaction.
Oh yeah, it's real amazing.
Whether it's a shitty movie, whether it's a great movie,
people yelling and people being bummed out and stuff too. I've had some screenings where you can't believe the energy and just how into it they are. Like when we showed Purple Rain.
Yeah.
There wasn't a person not dancing. And it was incredible. It was incredible. Not in like a corny way. It was just like nobody.
It was just beautiful.
Could remain seated. You know, like everybody was just on their feet. Every single person in that auditorium, which was sold out. And it happened the second that It was crazy. It was crazy. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. I love that stuff.
Yeah, that is amazing.
And that doesn't happen in front of a painting. I've never had a dance party in front of a painting.
Well, that's a different Dork Forest. That's a different... If you have danced in front of a painting, please call me. And
Yes.
I remember because I worked at a movie theater once for approximately 9 weeks.
They fired you?
No. I was
too smart for the room.
It was too smart for the room. I was too drunk for the gig, is what I was. The Odeon West End in London, and I worked at a movie theater, and I got to see Diana and Prince Charles, and they were going to see Roger Rabbit, which is what you think of when royalty goes to see a film. Please go see.
Oh my God! So great. Of all the fucking movies.
Of all the fucking movies. It was Roger Rabbit. I still
have a great film, though.
A great film.
I love Roger Rabbit.
I will, if I have a particularly stressful show, I will always put in Roger Rabbit. I have no idea why, but my favorite scene in Roger Rabbit is when Bob Hoskins, correct?
Yes.
And was wrestling with Roger. They were handcuffed together, and Roger pulls his hand out and holds the box steady, and then he puts it back in, and Bob Hoskins says, could you have done that at any time? And Roger Rabbit says,
yes.
Only when it was funny.
And when did you meet Charles Flesher the first time?
The first time, probably a dozen years ago at the Whole Foods over on Riverside.
As bummed out as I was about how creepy he is?
Yes.
Okay.
I have actually blocked it.
Bad uncle.
Because I fucking love Roger Rabbit.
I know. It is.
And
it's
Charles Fleischer is a goof.
But not. It's just. You almost. He just radiates creepy, which is why he was so good in Zodiac. Like, he showed up in Zodiac, and you just immediately went, oh no, not anybody but him right now. Anybody but him.
What was Zodiac? Was that the killer?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one with Jake Gyllenhaal?
No. That sounds terrifying. I was like, is there a movie about that boat that blows up? The Zodiac boat?
No.
It's an inflatable
boat. Zodiac
killer.
The Zodiac killer is what it's about. It's got Robert Downey Jr. in it, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Huge success.
Big
movie.
I believe it got nominated for an Academy Award. I don't
I think it's.
I got screeners. Great. I got screeners to ignore. Andy watched Get Out.
I love Get Out. Get Out is amazing.
Yeah. Andy said it was really, really good.
It is. It's an incredible film. I think it's one of the best movies of last year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was, you didn't want to watch it?
No. I understand there's a lot of tension. It's my least favorite thing about film. Here's what I've never stood in front of a painting and been scared. So
that's why you like paintings.
That's why I like old paintings a little bit better.
It's such a calm art form. Like poetry and paintings. It's just
right.
Washes over me like a gentle massage.
Exactly. That's why I like to read books, because I can put it down. Not that I couldn't pause the movie, but
I was going to point it out, but okay.
Well, like Fargo, for example.
A lot of tension,
Fargo. Walked out of Fargo.
What?
Walked back into Fargo. Chipper scene.
Bad timing.
Bad timing. Actually, the gore doesn't get me. It's literally people being stupid. And it was the salesman guy, played by William H. Macy.
Yes.
Just making one terrible life choice after another. And I was like, I already know those people in real life. Why would I watch a dramatization of something that's happening around me? Uh-huh. It literally makes my skin crawl. I would rather live or die through the movie out open water, like the circumstances of open water, than to watch the movie Open Water.
I think of all the movies we've talked about, all the historical, that Open Water came up during a conversation. It's insane.
How was Open Water? Did you like Open Water?
It's terrifying. It's a terrifying film. Like, I actually liked Open Water.
This is the greatest episode of the Dork Forest ever, because Gary Annabeta loves all movies. All of them. The only thing
we were slightly... We've only talked about good ones. We've only talked... let me think.
No, we haven't. We've talked about
some great films. Come on, it's Roger true. Rabbit, Fargo,
what's Zodiac. What's a movie you didn't like? Just out of curiosity, because this is it's usually... I don't mean to hurt anyone's feelings. The movie she names may possibly be your favorite movie of all time. I'm so sorry.
So deal with it.
Wait a minute. If you're alive, if you're still alive... Celebrate that. Yes.
What is one I did not like? What's one recently that came out to be like more helpful?
How about historically? Like what? I just bought Swing Time, which is Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers.
Okay, I hate most musicals, so I haven't even seen that. I hate it.
How about Mamma Mia?
I hate it.
Did you have to show Mamma Mia?
I did, and it was awful and traumatizing.
Here's my thing about the reason I loved Mamma Mia is that I usually don't like a movie where it looks like people are having more fun than I am while I'm watching.
Or riding burros.
I don't mind burros. I like Romancing the Stone. But the thing about Mamma Mia is that it looked like no one was having fun. That they were past the point of having fun, where now they were just laughing at the fact that they were in this movie.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I loved about this movie. It was sort of, it's a mad world for our generation, because Mamma Mia is terrible.
It is.
Pierce Brosnan singing is like trying to listen to someone sing through cheesecloth. And they're old. So they keep Meryl Streep sending her up that Greek mountain.
On a burro.
No, walking. She's walking up those stairs a million times. And I used to get ABBA and Air Supply mixed up. Hi, guys. I'm a dork. So when Mamma Mia came out, I was like, I want to write the Air Supply musical. And then I tried to listen to my favorite Air Supply album from a child.
Oh, shit.
And it's terrible.
Oh, yeah. You think? Oh, my God. I tried to listen to, first of all, the words, my favorite Air Supply album, probably never been uttered by anyone.
Remember,
in the history of uttering.
You may not
things.
Know this. I had two albums. My sister had two albums. That's all the music we had. We were poor, or nobody gave a shit about us. She had an Air Supply album. I had an Andy Gibb album. She had a something else. I had a Billy Joel album.
What Billy Joel?
52nd Street.
Good one.
Sure. Okay. And the Andy Gibb came with a poster. My parents wouldn't let me put it on the wall. I did it anyway. The eyes followed me, so I had to take it down anyway. Our room, the room my sister and I shared for our formative years, a Spartan cell would have been comparable. We lived in Wisconsin. Nancy Cation would keep, it was 54 at night. That's where she kept the heat. 54. And then during the day, it was, I believe, 68.
Both very uncomfortable.
Very, very chilly.
But those are uncomfortable temperatures.
Right. And weird numbers. And then
she was actually setting something for it to be that temperature.
Yes.
Like, and that was her goal.
We each had thin brown, like, army blankets. And I look back at it. And then I was mocked openly by my siblings because I wore a hat to bed. But I was chilly.
Yeah.
And so they bought me kind of a funny hat. It was an old Russian kind of fur. And I was like, no, this is good. 60% of your body goes out through your head. I'm fucking wearing this. I'm going to be warm.
Yeah, so, I bet. That is awesome.
So we didn't have any music. They had some old music. And then my dad only had motivational speaker albums. And
they make those?
Yeah, Zig Ziglar. You know, sell the sizzle, not the steak. So, what's, like, is there an old movie that you had to show? Like, I suppose all those old musicals.
I don't like musicals and I don't like horror films. I never have.
Well, that's weird. Because zombie movies, aren't those horror films?
I don't understand it either. I really like Dawn of the Dead is like one of my all-time favorite films. Like, but I there's like other, zombie films.
Oh, slasher movies maybe you don't like.
Don't like slasher
maybe
movies.
Maybe that's it. Like the Halloween-y like, kind of things?
A good movie is a good movie.
Right.
Period. Halloween, that John Carpenter one, that's just a great movie. But yeah, I don't like just watching people because like I really get into movies when I watch them. Like I really
Oh yes.
You're like, "Oh my god, okay, this is the person I connect with and her head's on a stick in the yard."
Well, right, stop
and then,
doing
so
that.
You pick somebody else and you're like, "No." And then they just get gutted in front of you. I don't find that fun.
No.
I don't think watching people die is fun.
More and more real every moment.
But like Get Out?
Yeah.
Get Out is amazing. Like that movie's amazing.
People die. It's kind of gory.
It's gory.
How about Silence of the Lambs?
Oh man, that's a good one. That's a great.
Super tense.
It's super tense. Do you like it?
I wanted to leave. I was tricked into going to that movie, and it was sold out. So I was in the middle, and this woman that I was hanging out with picked middle seats on purpose. I assume. Don't know. That is speculative fiction. But I could not get out. And I was literally just rocking back and forth, just grabbing the seat going, this is too tense. This is too tense.
That is a really tense one.
That's a tense one.
Yeah. And it's really good.
It is really good. It's incredibly well made.
Yeah.
And then I've
won the Academy Award for Best Picture.
Right. And I've seen it since then, or parts of it on cable. And I will always stop and watch parts of it because it is incredibly well done.
Good.
But it's no Field of Dreams, though. I'll tell you that.
Oh, come on. Field of Dreams.
I love Field of Dreams.
Ooh, high five on Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come.
I love Field of Dreams.
I love it, too. I love it. I remember just being so affected by that film the first time I saw it.
It's the Field of Dreams Bull Durham back-to-back that I want to watch.
That's the double feature
That's the double feature right there. The Natural, on the other hand, very pretty. Don't care.
Yeah.
Did you like it? Or
No. There's another one I don't like. I thought it was terrible.
I don't mind a sport movie. I don't love Rudy the way some people love Rudy.
I love Rudy.
Rudy's pretty good.
I love Rudy.
But it's not Hoosiers.
Oh, Hoosiers is so good.
Hoosiers, I think, doesn't have a bad scene in it.
It's so good.
Like Shawshank Redemption. Or
one of the greats.
How about Silverado?
Love Silverado. I love Silverado. Like, one of my
Did you get to show that one?
I have shown Silverado, actually. Yeah, I think, yes, I've played Silverado. Love that movie. That's one that I have on the Laserdisc. I have a Criterion collection of that.
You have an old-timey Laserdisc.
I do, yeah. Because I'm so...
When did you buy it?
You look so confused right now.
Yeah, explain. please. Let's go over.
Laser discs are great. There's a lot of films that you can't get in their original form. The only way they were released was on Laserdisc. There's a ton of them.
Which one?
Manhunter would be one.
Oh, weird.
They had to change the music. So the original release, Led Zeppelin, actually, I think.
Did it?
I think that one. No, Bad Lieutenant.
Okay.
Bad Lieutenant's another one. Led Zeppelin sued them. They had to take some music out on both of those.
Oh.
So for Manhunter, I think they redid all of the music, if my memory serves. Don't right. quote me on that. But I know the Bad Lieutenant, it was, they got sued for some rapper used cashmere.
Okay.
Got sued, lost, they had to take it out. And then there's a bunch of stuff we were talking before we got going on the Hays Code.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of like pre-code cartoons, things like that. All the Tex Avery cartoons, they're only available on Laserdisc. They were never released any other way.
But Laserdisc, I mean, they were that was created before DVD, right?
Yep.
And so in between VHS
yeah.
and DVDs, there was Laserdisc
right.
and they're giant album size movies.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
What, because they're bigger, they can hold, I assume, more data.
They you would think.
Yeah.
But they're actually, if you get like the CAV disc, they're about the equivalent of a DVD.
What makes the Laserdisc, is it just availability of things that aren't available
and,
other things?
A lot of extras. But yes, I only buy stuff on Laserdisc, although I have a lot. I only buy stuff on Laserdisc that's not available
okay.
any other way. It's like, oh, you can't get this except on Laserdisc.
Okay.
For example, I have the Laserdisc of Boogie Nights.
Oh.
Because it has a documentary on there about John Holmes called Exhausted. Which has never been released, but it's on that Laserdisc, and it's amazing.
Really? So yeah. Boogie Nights is the porn.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Jackie, what have you been doing yeah. the last 30 years?
Yeah, that, I've you been haven't watching, seen Boogie Nights?
No, I understand it's amazing.
There's no tension.
There's no tension.
You should watch
You know it. What I accidentally saw instead of Boogie Nights? Well, Studio 54.
Ouch.
It was. Yeah, it was exactly that.
So bad.
That's why I didn't see Boogie Nights. I was like, oh, is it going to be more of this nonsense? Because I don't want
to
see it.
Well, you have to see Boogie Nights.
Because Boogie Nights is excellent.
Yeah.
Everyone
it is excellent. It is excellent. And it is based on... He got the idea from this documentary about John Holmes called Exhausted.
Okay.
And it's on the Laserdisc only.
Okay.
Like if you buy...
So you really can't... I mean, I'm sure someone's ripped it and put some shitty version of it on YouTube.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But if you want the right sanctioned version of it or whatever...
Well, I it's hard to see. It's too much nudity, I think, to be on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
It'd probably get taken down right away.
Oh, fair enough. And yeah. How long is that documentary? Is it a full hour?
Yeah, it's a full... I have the version on the Laserdisc.
Yeah.
Paul Thomas Anderson actually edited all the sex stuff out and just made it into the documentary. And so I think it's only an hour. And then the actual documentary is like, I think an hour and a half and an hour 40. I have both of them.
Oh, wow.
Because yeah, somebody ripped me a copy
yeah.
of it years ago, but it's terrific. If you haven't seen that documentary,
that's
There's
fascinating.
A lot of stuff. We, like I said, we were talking a lot of the pre-code cartoons and
just,
stuff like that.
Just
Tex Avery. Never been available. You can only get it on Laserdisc.
Is his name Tex? Tex
is
Avery?
It's Tex Avery, right?
I don't know. Who.
The cartoon guy, yeah.
Yeah, there's a cartoon guy named Tex Avery.
Yeah.
Who did pre-code, which means that they were either super sexy or super racist.
Or por qué no lo dos.
Or possibly
or
both.
A lot of stuff. Like, I have... Yeah, it's Tex Avery. The other thing I have, because cartoons, like... Even a lot of the newer stuff. The Family Dog. You remember that cartoon?
Vaguely.
It was on Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
They couldn't get clearances. Only available on Laserdisc.
It's, I have only heard of it. It's supposed to be hilarious.
It's so funny. It's so brilliant and so funny. I'm not sure why they've never relieved it. Usually it always has to do with music. But I don't know why.
Right.
But that is the one that I have that people like want to borrow all the time because they want to watch. It's the whole season of it.
And yeah, it's hilarious and terrific. But I also have stuff like the Three Caballeros.
Oh.
The Walt Disney one. Because they've edited that out. Because like Goofy smokes.
Oh, right.
So.
I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
The smoking, the guns in E.T.
Mm-hmm.
Even Holiday Inn, rather. Holiday Inn with Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire.
I thought you meant the comfortable motels.
you know the Holiday Inn. It's Holiday Inn Express. Holiday Inn is a Christmas movie, or it's a holiday movie that I always start the holidays by watching Holiday Inn. Because it is all the holidays.
Okay.
And it's where Bing Crosby first wrote White Christmas.
Okay.
And it is a great movie with a horrible scene for the 4th of July. He is in blackface.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Swing Time also has a blackface scene in it as well. And so AMC awful. Sometimes cuts out the blackface scene. And I'm like...
And rightly so.
Here's my thing about it, though. The only black character in that movie... has like five lines in that scene that, and then she has four lines in the rest of the movie. And I say, face your fucking racism. Face the history of your stupid, stupid racism.
Yeah.
We were watching Swing Time night before last because I got it for Christmas. And there's a scene in it where Fred Astaire is also in blackface doing a song about Bojangles.
Okay.
And there's a great... He's tap dancing. He's an amazing dancer, Fred Astaire. Gonna break some ground here, you guys. Big reveal.
We're going out on a limb here.
But so there's it's a shadow puppet thing where he's tap dancing.
Okay.
And it's ridiculous. Blackface is
ridiculous
and stupid and foul and not okay.
No.
That being said, the Bojangles scene, all of those old movies in the 30s stole everybody's act from vaudeville from the Poconos. Because everybody had circuits, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby in those road movies, they stole comics acts because everyone just did the same act for 30 years from that, you know, when they traveled the circuit because there was no radio, there was no television. So Bob Hope cherry picked and stole everybody's favorite bits.
Bob,
Bing, come on. Huge surprise that we find out later that those guys are kind of assholes. And I'm almost certain without knowing that Fred Astaire stole that act, that shadow puppet thing, from a black tap dancer on the road. Because of he did it in blackface, which makes me think that he was doing either what he thought was some sort of homage, or he was like, well, it was a black guy who did this. I should probably be black. And you're like, well, shut it. It was just, right. The reasoning is insanity. Yeah. And one of my favorite jokes Chad Daniels does was he was talking to his grandmother about, he was out to lunch with his grandmother, and his grandmother's a racist. And he told her that she was a piece of shit. And
I like how you just casually say.
And so his grandmother's
like, she makes good cornbread. Chad Daniels' mother makes terrific cornbread.
And
Chad Daniels' grandma, racist.
Huge racist, constantly saying ridiculous things. And he called her on it, obviously, right?
Oh,
like you do. And then. Somebody said, well, you know, she was raised in a different time. And he said, yeah, but she's raised now, right? She's an adult at this time.
Yeah.
She's got all of her faculties now.
Sure.
And you're like,
we can be taught. We can realize stuff. I pushed a kid in a pool when I was like five.
Mm-hmm.
I understood later on that was a bad thing to do.
Yes.
People went, hey, that's a bad thing to do. I didn't go like,
into a pool?
Well, I was raised in a different time.
Did you say, well, I was five and I needed to be taught that it wasn't cool?
We can all learn.
We can all be taught.
We can all be taught. You've got to want. She wants to be racist. It's 2018. If you're a racist, you want to be a racist.
That's it.
You want to be a racist. You are a bad person.
And you've made a terrible life choice.
You're making a really, really bad life choices because being raised in a different time is not, it's not an excuse for bad behavior.
I went on the slave tour in Monticello.
Mm-hmm.
And the docent, 65-year-old white guy. Not how I would have cast that. So, but he had to face his racism 3 fucking times a day as he gave people tours of this. And he was, on the whole, I thought he did pretty good. Not entirely great, as 3 older black women kind of bailed near the end of his tour.
Oh my God, I'm a terrible person. I just gonna laughed at that.
Well, because yeah,
I'm
and
sorry.
Oh, that's fine. But the thing is and I'm sure he learned from it. But at one point, he was talking about how Thomas Jefferson was a white supremacist, and he was a scientist, and that was the science of the day, and because people were measuring skulls, and they were justifying, like, scientists were justifying their racism by making it science, like measuring shit, and he was, and at no time does the docent who's giving us this tour say the actual words, "That has been disproven. Humanity is just humanity,
yeah,
and poor people should be educated, whether they're white or black or Native American or Asian, because potential is not the color of your skin. Everyone is just meat." Yeah. So,
and unfortunately, you can't measure hatred.
Right. Let's measure that. It turns out. Let's create a science to measure hatred. I bet you there's some somebody looking for a grant. So you would say, Can people, you're clearly still buying Laserdiscs.
I bought one yesterday.
I gotta get back to the door.
I bought one yesterday.
What'd you buy?
Robinson Crusoe on Mars.
I had not gone to Mars in that sentence. Why was he on Mars?
I'm gonna find out.
You never saw it?
I did not watch it yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. But I knew it was a rare one.
Okay.
And I saw it at Amoeba, and I was like, oh my God, I got to pick that up. That's not been available. And
does Amoeba have a Laserdisc section?
Absolutely, yeah. That's where I get most of mine. And it's, surprisingly, I know it's a dead format. It's still, there's a lot of people that get and collect it for the reasons that I've stated. It's the only, like, we were talking about, like, they shouldn't, I want to be clear, they shouldn't edit that stuff out. Like, Goofy was smoking at that. I feel like that should be available to us.
Yeah.
Like, but I understand that they edited it out for television, being that that is a public and publicly funded thing. So children could watch that. And
I'm torn. I'm super torn because the thing about smoking and guns and rape, I don't know. I don't know why I went there. Says the woman who said, "Are you still alive? Why am I being judged?" So but I think that it creates the dialogue because we were watching Swing Time and that blackface thing happened and Andy and I just looked at each other and it led to a very good sort of white people kind of onion kind of thing where you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
We've been horrible for centuries.
Yeah. We got to get it together. But I do
buy a white lady meat shield t-shirt, everybody. Yes.
I think that I also understand that people can't be watching their kids every second of the day. I understand that we may have
And the TV is the babysitter.
Exactly.
Often.
And so I think that it is okay as long as they say, hey, this has been edited.
Oh, yeah.
Some content is out of this. What I disagree with or what I don't like is that they go, like, Disney has never released Song of the South.
Right, because it's,
by the way, it is on Laserdisc.
I have never seen it.
It's great. It's great.
What is it?
It's a great movie. It's right. It's an Uncle Remus.
Uncle Remus.
Story of the tar baby.
Oh.
And it's a very, very good film. It's the zippity-doo-dah.
Oh, so it's got music.
It is a musical.
You aren't completely dead inside.
No, and, not
so
completely. There's a couple of musicals I do like. I really liked Hamilton a lot.
Yeah. Did you get to see it?
I did. And I loved it. There are some musicals that Singing in the Rain, incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some that are really.
I don't like all musicals, like as a blanket. but I've done several episodes about musicals, and there's plenty of musicals I haven't seen, but on the whole, like I like I kind of like those old Hammer
okay,
the Hammerstein, and like I like Guys and Dolls a lot, and
yeah, see, I hate those.
Yeah, those are the ones.
Because it's like the movie's going and getting good, and then they just stop it, and everybody sings, and you're like, what is going on? Like, I don't like it. I don't like it. You don't like anything about it.
You don't like anything about it.
Don't like anything about it.
So Song of the South is because it's just, it perpetuates all those stereotypes. Because is that what it is? Or
they're slaves. Actually, like Uncle Remus, there, it's a slave, and that's where they are. It's
you know, pre-Civil War slavery.
Exactly.
That's where it's set.
Exactly.
And is it that Southern apologist kind of thing where they're just like, remember the good old days?
Yeah. It's like, look at these happy slaves.
Look at the happy slaves.
Yeah.
So I get why they wouldn't release that publicly. Just because it's like all those monuments where you're like the participation trophies.
Oh, my
where,
God.
Where you're like, there were plenty of Southerners who fought for the North because that was their country. Mm-hmm. And they weren't slave apologists. But so interesting. Song of the South.
I think it should be made available because it does promote, like you talked, the discussion around that. And it's important that we talk about these subjects that are difficult.
Yeah, because they are. It is important, and those things are just, they wake us up. They shock us into going, what?
Yeah,
what's happening?
Yeah. It's like,
what is the message of this fucking thing?
Exactly. And you go like, oh, okay. This is like, we know how the areas we need to get. It the discussion is good. Discussion. And plus, no one knows that Splash Mountain at Disneyland is based on Song of the South.
Oh, I did not know that.
Nobody. It's really crazy to me that nobody knows that.
Why is it?
Because it was one of their films. It was one of the things
that they did. It was a big number in Song of the South.
Song of the South.
Had a Splash Mountain.
They do Zippity-Doo-Dah. And those are all the characters from the film that you're seeing as you go through there. It's the Brer Rabbit and all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look what we've done here. Garyana Abeda, you have taught me so much, quite honestly, and we've gone so over. But
oh, geez.
I haven't talked to you in 12 years, so what the heck?
Edit out, I don't know. We'll go over it.
Anyway, go over it. At Garyana Abeda is her Twitter feed. Her birthday is the 27th. And she is in a great documentary about...
Out of Print.
About Out of Print.
Julia Marchetti, please watch it.
It's on Netflix. And I'd love to get you back on just to talk about... clearly about documentaries. So,
oh, I love documentaries.
Garyana Abeta. Garyana Abeta. Thank you for being on the show.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me.
And Rangers.
For the iced coffee.
Right. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
They're dancing around my hat. My hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?